You have heard it said, man up. Put a brave face on it. Don't moan. Just get on with it. If you haven't heard it from others, you may well have heard it from yourself. Also, it's human nature that we rally around a person in crisis, but once the main practical issues have passed, we return to our normal lives. And also, we tend to get compassion fatigue for those people who remain down. We really want them just to get on with it. But you know, trying to man up yourself, trying to get on with it, and wanting others to do the same, you don't find either of those in the life of Jesus. In our reading, we see Jesus being vulnerable. It's funny, isn't it? Sometimes we get a bit muddled about who Jesus is. You know, at Christmas, we sometimes hear all that Jesus meek and mild business. But of course, Jesus was anything but. He was a man of strength and a man of power. He was a man who faced the authorities of his day with unwavering strength. And he was a rabbi. He was an important person in his community. He was seen with respect and with honor. And yet, you see this man being vulnerable in front of his disciples by allowing his emotions to show and telling his disciples how he felt. I'm just going to read the bit again so you remember it. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He doesn't pretend to have it all together. He asks for his disciples, those that were following him, to keep watch with him. And then he goes to Father God for help. When he goes, he is not ready for the cross. It takes Jesus time to come to terms with the pain he is in and the pain to come. And you can see his movement from what he says, from verse 39 to verse 42. So in 39, he says, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." But later he says, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." You see, as he goes to God, as he submits himself to the Father, he moves from the horror of what he was about to face to what God's will is. He isn't relying solely on his disciples, but hands his whole self over to God, not once, but three times, until he has come to a place of peace and receives from Father God the strength that he needs. Of course, his disciples weren't actually much help to him because of their own stuff. They must have been so bewildered by what was happening. You know, his disciples trusted that he was the Messiah, the Savior, you know, God's Son himself. And yet here he is saying he's going to die and plainly being in huge distress over it. So they slept. And of course, we can be just the same today, caught up in our own stuff and failing to keep watch with other people. Sometimes our own stuff is mental illness, and we are too ill to reach out to others, too ill to keep ourselves together, and the idea of manning up is frankly ridiculous. Now, you may never have experienced a mental illness and may struggle to understand it. So I'd like to attempt to explain to you what it's like to have one of the most common mental illnesses, which is depression. So I'd like you to imagine with me five things. The first thing I'd like you to imagine is that you have had a very long week at work or at home with the children or whatever it is, but you come home, you are so dog tired, you can't even decide whether you want a cup of tea or not, let alone make plans for the weekend. The second thing I'd like you to imagine, and I know some of you won't have to imagine it because it is where your life is now, the deep pain of grief, how that feels inside. Thirdly, I'd like you to imagine the anxiety that you feel before an exam or a job interview. Fourthly, I would like you to imagine that your head is so full of cotton wool, it makes you feel detached from the world and the people around you. Perhaps if you've ever had a really bad headache, it gives you that same sort of fuzzy detachedness. And finally, I would like you to imagine what it feels like to feel that no one could possibly like you or need you because you are utterly pathetic and worthless. To think that about yourself. If you add all these things together in varying intensities, imagine experiencing that for weeks on end. You have an idea of what it's like to be clinically depressed. I can tell you, it's truly horrible. The pain of it is worse than any physical pain I have ever experienced. It was certainly worse than the pain of delivering my child. In such circumstances, why would we expect anyone to just get on with it, to man up? If you have ever experienced in a small amount of that, why on earth would you expect yourself to just get on with it? Now, I heard on the radio the other day that this is my clever theological bit. And just, I hope you're listening, Sadhu. This is me being very clever and theological. Thank you very much. I heard on the radio the other day that the Greek word for sin is hamartia, an archery term meaning to miss the mark. Now, Martin Collins says, we could say that sin is not just making an error in judgment in a particular case, but missing the whole point of human life. All through the Bible, we see that the point of human life is to love God and to love our neighbor. Jesus, of course, always got it. He entirely hit the mark. You see, you can see it all over his life. You see it when he asks the Samaritan woman for a drink, where he cuts across all social expectations. You know, here is a not only, you know, he's a Jew, she is a Samaritan, he is a man, she is a woman, it's during the day, he should not have been speaking to her. But of course, he cuts across all that and opens her eyes to who God is. When he lets Mary anoint him with perfume, when he publicly shows his own grief at the death of Lazarus, when he could have said, buck up, he's coming back. I mean, we know the next part of the scripture is he raises him from the dead. So, and yet, he made room for other people's need by making a way with his own vulnerability. You know, particularly with the death of Lazarus, you know, he shows his own grief. That made room. You know, he is our leader. What he does frees us to be the same. He publicly showed his grief for Lazarus, which allowed everybody around him to do the same. We were not made to be islands. We are not called to man up or expect others to man up. It entirely misses the mark on what it means to be human. We are called by God to support others and allow ourselves to be supported. We are called to be entirely vulnerable before God, handing it all over to him. You have heard it said, man up. I say to you, be interdependent with others and wholly dependent upon God. I'm going to pray. And then, you know, I'm very aware that this is a taboo, and this is something which, if you are then thinking about it, it may have touched you where it hurts. And, you know, we don't want any person to leave this church feeling vulnerable in the wrong way, feeling unsafe. So if you find that there is something that you would like to talk about or pray about, please don't leave without having done that, because otherwise, what's the point of me telling you what Jesus did, you know? So I'm going to pray, and then I know there'll be a time in communion where people can have prayer, isn't there? So if you would like prayer, that can happen during communion. If you would like to talk afterwards, then I and Sadhu and others will be around. And of course, also, it's the second part of stress-proof your life later. So if you're thinking, I could do with a bit of that, then you can come to that as well. So let's pray. Father God, we offer our lives to you again. Where we have missed the mark, please forgive us. Please today, will you forgive us and fill us with your love and your peace as we follow Jesus' example. Amen.